Should we bow our heads and pray together? Jesus, how great you are. How great is your word, how great are your works. We invite you, Lord Jesus, come and speak through your word, speak through this book of Acts to us this morning. Meet us at our point of need, but also show us, Lord, where are the needs around us that you want to send us out to. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. I ask for your help. I ask for your anointing. And I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're here this morning, you're probably not running in the London Marathon. I think that's a fairly safe bet. And it's amazing, isn't it? People gather there and they all line up at the starting line and all different costumes and crazy things. And there's this huge course. Has anyone here ever run a marathon? Anyone here ever ran a marathon? Mike Baldwin, I knew it was going to be John Miles. It all makes sense now. Max, just give him a round of applause. Good job, good job. Even though I grew up in Kenya where they love the long distance running, everyone else used to run way ahead of me in running that. But the London Marathon, they all line up there, all their different costumes, and they get ready, and you probably, you know, there's been a ton of preparation that's gone beforehand, and you get there, and it's like even when we were doing the balloon thing. Someone says, ready, then what? Steady, and then go, and they're all off. They're all off. And this ready, steady is an important part, isn't it? It's everyone getting together. We're on the same page. Are we ready to begin, everyone? Ready, steady, and then go. And we've had in our days as a church a bit of a time like that. We've had the countdown to Clandon. 5 weeks to go. 4 weeks to go, 3 weeks to go. And then that bank holiday Monday, do you remember it? When loads of people came and we were sorting things out and we were moving and it was happening and it was real. And this bit in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, is a bit like the ready, steady, go in the book of Acts. It's like as the church is at this critical moment in its history, Jesus is kind of saying, just pause. He's teaching them a few more things. He's come to them. And even here in this section, in Acts chapter 1 to 5, Jesus is the Luke. The guy who wrote it is almost doing a bit of an intro, a little ready, steady, go before you get into my book. Let me just tell you a few things you need to hear. And so in this message, we're kind of going to go, right, ready, steady, and then we're going to dive in. We're going to dive into the rest of the book of Acts. We're going to dive in to what God has for us. And there's two things, really, I'm looking to this morning for us to get immersed in, for us to, as it were, fire out of the starting blocks as of this service more deeply into these things. And the first is getting immersed in Acts. You say that with me. Getting immersed in Acts. That's one of the longings I have that you'll take out of this service is you're right, this book, I want to get immersed in it. As we do this introduction, as we get into this today, you're going to think, wow, yeah, this book, I want to get into it. And the second thing, though, that we see in this passage and we see in Acts big time is getting immersed in the Spirit. Getting immersed in the Spirit. And again, can you say that with me? Getting immersed with the Spirit. We need to be people of the Word and the Spirit. But I believe there's always more of God's Spirit that he can take and, as it were, fill us with and send us out with more effectiveness and greater zeal and love for him, great awareness of his love for him. And we're going to come into that as well as we get into this wonderful book of Acts. So getting immersed in Acts and getting immersed in the Spirit, and we're going to dive into those things. So the book of Acts. Why did I choose the book of Acts? Why are we digging into this today? Well, the book of Acts is exciting. It's dynamic. It's about a church on the move. It's not about a static building or organization. It's about a people, an organism that's growing out. And if you get into the Bible studies that we're looking at and you look at the front there, I wrote a few things in the introduction of that book about why I think this would be fantastic for us to get into. Because the book of Acts is real. It talks about real people with real struggles, and yet it talks about God who, like those balloons, picks up real people and does extraordinary things into them as he comes and moves in their lives. The book of Acts has as two of its big themes prayer and outreach. Oftentimes in the book of Acts, you're going to find people praying. Just skim down your Bible. Look down to what we're going to be looking at in a few weeks' time when it says in verse 14 of chapter 1, they all joined together constantly in prayer. They were often found praying in the book of Acts. And I'm hoping that as we read and study this book together, it's going to inspire us and grow us in this great goal we've got for our year, to be people who grow in prayer in 2008. But also, the Acts, like the balloon being blown up and sent out, is a book where Jesus says, you know that great commission I gave you at the end of my time on earth? You know that great commission that even we were looking at last week, the great purposes of God that he's going to work out? That's what I want you to go and do, empowered by me. Go and reach out. Go and make disciples of all nations. So these glorious, great purposes are what we've got in mind in this fantastic book of Acts. And I love it as well, because they kind of gather together in big groups like this in Acts, and God does amazing things. But they also gather together in these little smaller groups in Acts, and God does amazing things there. And they send people out. They even bump into Ethiopians. There you go. And it's just wonderful as you get into this marvelous book. So we're going to dive into it together, and I hope and pray that this little phrase that Martin Lloyd-Jones lived will be something that you feel you can echo after getting into this book. This is what he said. He was a recent preacher and theologian in this country, and he said of the book of Acts, live in that book. Live in that book. I exhort you, it is a tonic, the greatest tonic I know in the realm of the Spirit. The greatest tonic I know in the realm of the Spirit. John Calvin called it a kind of vast treasure, the book of Acts. You know, we have four accounts of Jesus' life. This is the only account we've got of the early church. A wonderful description. And you think, the book of Acts, what's all that about? Is it, what's Acts stand for? What's that? Well, it's actually, some people call it the Acts of the Apostles. Others maybe even refer to it as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But if you like, it's a bit like the balloon thing again, isn't it? Because when I do this with my balloon, some people might see it go and think, oh, look at that balloon go, and they focus on the balloon. Other people might say, wow, you see the wind. And others might say, what's David doing, playing with balloons? It all are accurate descriptions. You could say it's the, watch those apostles go, look at the people of God as they do amazing things. But then you could also look at the book of Acts and say, oh, it's the Spirit. Look at what the Spirit's doing. But ultimately, behind it all, is Jesus Christ, the one who chose the apostles, the one who picked them up, the one who blew his Spirit in them and sent them out with his message. And look with me right at the beginning of the book of Acts. Look at verse 1 and 2. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. About all that Jesus began to do, and that was in Luke's gospel. That was in his former book. All that Jesus began to do. And so now, this is not the end of Jesus' ministry. This is the end of the beginning of Jesus' ministries. And now as he's taken up, he's continuing to work. This is a book about Jesus. And you remember that first week, many of you who were here and said, yeah, I want to move on with Jesus. The book of Acts is a book where we see how does Jesus work in the world through his people by his Spirit. John Stott, who wrote a brilliant, brilliant commentary on the book of Acts. It's all the people who study it say this is the best one to get hold of. Dave Reese has managed to get us a great deal. And in fact, a number of small group leaders have already got one of these. If you want to see Dave and get one, it will help you as you read through Acts and as we study it together, if you've got any questions. But this is what he says about the book of Acts. I think we've got the quote up here on the screen. Thanks, Maria. The book of Acts could be described as this: the continuing words and deeds of Jesus by his Spirit through his apostles. The continuing words and deeds of Jesus by his Spirit through his apostles. So I think about it, and I think, right, we want to move on with Jesus as a church. We want to grow in him. We want to not just grow in our knowledge of him, we want to grow in him working through us to be agents to reach this world. I think this is going to be a fantastic book to get into. So here's what I want you to do. Take your update, and you might even be sharing an update at this time. And you'll see in your update, and I've just lost mine momentarily, you'll see a daily reading plan. Now, this is not as grueling as the London Marathon, you'll be pleased to know, Lynn. It's not going to take you ages and ages to train for. It's not going to mean that you have to kind of run however many miles it is. But it is going to take you a bit of time. Just a few minutes each day. That's when you're doing and preparing for anything. If we're living for heaven, we shouldn't be just surprised that there's going to be a little bit of discipline in it. Things that were going to help us. And I would love. I would love everyone here in this room and those who are in your small groups and those who are going to be here next week. I would love everyone to read through Acts together daily. Now, you might be doing something else at the moment. That's fine. It's not a long reading. Just a little bit of Acts each day. 11 verses. It will take you minutes. If you're already in a habit of reading stuff, do it alongside it. If you're not in a habit of reading the Bible every day, it's a joy. You're missing out. It is brilliant to take time every day just to sit down, open up this wonderful book, and allow God to speak to you. And so you might think, well, where do I start? This is where you start. On Monday, the 14th of April, start at Acts 1, 1 to 11. And open up the Bible and just read it. And ask the question as you do it. Say, Jesus, I want to know more about you. Please help me understand this. Help me get something out of it. And maybe there'll be something new about God. Maybe there'll be a new lesson about you, about how you can, an error to avoid or an example follow. And get into the book of Acts. And you can discuss it in your groups like Rosie was talking about. We're going to be in the groups having time where you can discuss the things you're reading. We're going to be going through Acts. In our daily reading, we'll probably go through it faster than we will in our Sundays. But it all will help. Because the Bible is one of those books that actually, if you get the whole context, it really helps you in understanding these little bits here and there. So, will you do it? Will you read Acts together with me in these days so that we can move on in this great book together? Can I have an amen? Will you do it? Amen. That would be fantastic. Please, if your partner or your husband or wife has already stolen one of these and you're thinking, well, I'm going to be reading it with them. I'm going to be reading it on the train on the way into work. Then there's more down here on the side. You can grab one as you go out. And do tell the people in your home group as well who weren't here and they can just either catch up or start where they are on those days. So we're going to be reading it together. We're going to be memorizing bits of it together. It's that good. It's a treasure. I want to get it in my heart. It's a treasure where we can dig it into it. And this Sunday, it's in your update as well. There's a verse called, I haven't learned it yet, so I don't quite know it, but I'm going to be preaching on it tonight, where it says, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time? No, not that one. Verse 7. It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Verse about God's timing. I believe so many of us need to keep remembering that God's in control of time. And sometimes we just don't know. We have to trust him. So that's a verse. And this little bit of paper, that's for you to write it on and stick it in your wallet or your pocket, carry it around with you, read it on the bus, look at it at work, pin it on your computer. This is the way I've found so helpful to learn verses. Just write them down and then stick them up places. So there you go. You've got a little piece of paper. Again, there's more of these. If your partner's already stolen your bit, there's more of them just down here in the corner. And as we go through it, let's keep memorizing these verses. Get them into us. The children so often outdo us in this, but this is a precious book. This is a chance to do what we said we want to do and grow and move on with Jesus. Get the word into us and then get it out there as well. So is this just a book about the acts of Jesus? Well, it's the acts of Jesus, but working through his apostles. His apostles. And this book of Acts, as you read on through it, you see in verse 2, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And it's these apostles, after his suffering, that he showed himself to. These men, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. This is a book that describes the wonderful things that God did through people like Peter. A fisherman. Someone who denied Jesus. And yet God came and met him, restored him, and used him for the things you read about here in Acts. About people like Paul, you know, Paul hated church. I don't know, you might be here today and you hate church. You've got dragged along. Paul hated church. In fact, he hated church so much that he used to try and stop gatherings like this from happening. And God came hold of and took this man and changed him and made him into someone who could be useful for God's purposes. And the book of Acts describes, actually particularly, describes a lot about Peter and Paul. Talks about some of the other apostles as well and what they did. But these guys, it seems to really focus on them. And in fact, you could do an interesting study. Maybe you've never done this before, but you could go through and see, what does the book of Acts have to say about Peter? What does it say about Paul? Very interestingly, both preached amazing messages. Both believed the gospel and proclaimed it. Both were used of God to heal the sick. Both were used of God to raise the dead. Both were mighty men of God. And I think one of the things Luke is trying to do is draw out, there is no division in this church. These guys are working together. And in the early church, that would have been so important for people to realize as Paul went out to the Gentiles and Peter focused on the Jews. Actually, this is still one church. Two great men used of God in different ways. And you know what else I love about this book? It's an eyewitness account. It's a guy who studied and dug into it. Look what he says in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about. And if you turn back to Luke chapter 1, turn just back briefly with me to Luke chapter 1. This is his former book, how he starts it. He says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you. Luke has studied it. Luke has gone there. Luke has been to the places. Luke has spoken to the people. As you read through Luke's gospel, you discover that halfway through, Luke starts saying, not they did this, but we did this. Because he started traveling with Paul. He was one of Paul's traveling companions. And it's not just that he traveled with Paul, but in one of Paul's journeys, which you also see in Luke, he ends up in Jerusalem, and Paul ends up in prison. But Luke's free. So Luke takes that time, probably 2 years of time, and he goes around Jerusalem and Bethlehem and up to Galilee and around Nazareth, and he's taking time to investigate, to talk to the people who actually saw Jesus, to talk to the people who here Acts 1 is describing about, who Jesus spoke to, the apostles. He would have sat down with Peter. Would you like to read what someone said who sat down with the apostle Peter who walked with Jesus? Yeah, it's in front of you. Luke carefully studied, talked, and he brings these things together for us to show us and teach us. But as he's doing it, a word of warning. As we read this, a word of warning. This is narrative. It's historical narrative. It's not a kind of doctrinal thesis. It's not saying, okay, this is exactly how church should be done in 2008 in Brighton and Hove when they moved to Clarendon Villas. It's not saying that. It is got a lot for us, but we're going to need to be discerning as we study it. We're going to need to look and say, what was unique to their situation? What was God particularly doing at that time? And what from it can we take and grab? So we need to bear in mind that this is not a kind of letter to Holland Road. This is God's word, and all of it is useful and inspired and can teach and train us. But we need to be careful as we do that, just to realize it is historical narrative. And we need to look back and see, okay, what can we get from this? But one thing we do know is that these guys walked with Jesus. They knew what it was to follow him. They knew what it was to be filled with his spirit and to be useful for him. And hey, that's what I want to do. I want to learn what it is to walk with Jesus, to be full of his spirit, to be useful for him. And I hope that's our heartbeat too as a church. So we're going to dive in it together. We're going to learn about Jesus as we do it. We're going to learn about these apostles. And you know what's the amazing thing? The book of Acts has a really clear beginning, but Acts 28 is not such a clear ending. It's almost like you could keep it going. You could start Acts 29, Acts 30, Acts 31, because it has a really clear beginning, but the ending is kind of open-ended. The gospel gets to the center of the Roman world at that time, but from there, it's clearly still moving. Still moving out into wonderful places. And you and I are almost caught up in the ongoing story of Acts. Yes, it's about the apostles, and they were unique in a special way, but it's ultimately about God's people. What's God's spirit doing through God's people? I've got this great quote here that I want to read you. Are you ready? It starts out like this. It says, third page of my notes. Church of Christ, Arthur Pearson writes. Church of Christ, speaking to folks like us, the records of these acts of the Holy Ghost have never reached completeness. This is the one book which has no proper close because it waits for new chapters to be added so fast and so far as the people of God shall reinstate the blessed Spirit in his holy seat of control. Are you and I ready to pick up the torch of people like Peter and Paul and what they were doing, and with the same spirit enabling us, continue on in spreading and taking this great commission of God to all nations, to the different parts, the dark corners even of Brighton and Hove, your workplace, the nations? That's the great thing about Acts. It's not just a historical book. It's a book that you and I can somehow be caught up with, swept along in, as we join God in his eternal purposes. But even in that passage, you get the sense of this is a guy, and he's the one who describes Acts not as the Acts of the Apostles, but the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And as we dig into the book of Acts, we discover that you can't do what God is calling us to do. You can't do the mission of the church. You can't do the calling people to repent and receive forgiveness of sins. You can't be his witnesses unless first you know the filling of God's Spirit. You need God's Spirit. We need God's Spirit to do his work. The book of Acts is so clear in that. And even this bit here makes that abundantly plain. Doesn't in Jesus on verse 4 and 5, he says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Don't go out and try and do it in your own strength, Peter, James, John. You won't succeed if you do it in your own strength. You need my power. So wait, I'm going to go to heaven. We'll look at that a bit more next week. I'll send you the Holy Spirit, and he'll come and enable you and work powerfully through you. So that leads me then to the second thing and the last thing I want us to say this morning. Not only do I long that we'd get immersed in Acts, but more than getting immersed in Acts, which I believe will get us immersed in Jesus and all that he's doing in our lives, I will believe that Jesus then would take us from that to getting immersed in the Spirit. Getting immersed in the Spirit. And this is something we don't need to be afraid of. This is something we need to seek. This is something we need to say, hey, we can't do it on our own. I need help. You need help. We need help. We need the help of God. And he promises a helper. He promises us his Spirit. And so look down with me at where it says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? How do you and I take that? Does that mean that in a few days, on Thursday, or actually we'll see later that these few days actually turn out to be 10 days. So does that mean in next Wednesday we will be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Is that how we're meant to read it? This is what I'm talking about how we need to see its historical narrative. So how do we do that? And what is this baptism of the Holy Spirit anyway? Ever wondered that? What's that all about? Well, we could have a long theological debate at this point. And I would love to talk more. You can come and ask your questions over this. But one thing I think this clearly says, we need the Spirit. This is saying, you can't do it on your own, you need the Spirit. So whatever, you know, your discussion of terminology or how does it all work, whatever. What's clear in this, and what I read, is we need God's Spirit. But what I would love us to do as well is just to look briefly and see, well, what are the other places where it talks about baptism of the Spirit in the Bible? That might even help us here understand a bit more what's going on. So here we go. We've got one verse here. There's seven places in the Bible where it talks about baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? So here we go. Maria's just going to quickly run us through them. Jesus says, John says, John the Baptist, I baptize with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then actually the next three are from the other accounts. They're the similar bits. So I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist speaking again. John answered them all, I baptize with water, but one will come who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the next one is from John. I wouldn't have known him, except he's the one who said to baptize with water, told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So what is clear is whatever baptism of the Spirit means, it's something Jesus does. So that makes me think, that's good. Something Jesus does. It's different from just baptism with water. That's important. Let me say that. That's really important. They do that all the way through Acts. But baptism of the Spirit is Jesus doing something in our spirit. It's actually the word, just like with water, you get immersed in water, it's getting immersed in the Spirit. getting immersed in the Spirit. Now, the question then comes, well, does this describe something we need? Or does this describe something that happened to us when we became Christians? And so let's look on at some of these other passages and see what they say. Well, the next passage is the one that we've got here in front of us, Acts 1:5. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So that's describing what we're just reading, what's going to come up in a few days in Pentecost. And then the next verse in Acts looks back and says, then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So it's looking back to this day of Pentecost. And then the final scripture that talks about baptism of the Holy Spirit is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And this is what it says. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now this verse tells me that whatever baptism of the Spirit means, what it doesn't mean is let's create division. You agreed with me on that? That's so clearly the emphasis of Paul. Whatever it means there, it's saying we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, and we were all given of the one Spirit to drink. There's a sense of coming together in this. And sometimes this phrase, baptism of the Spirit, has been something that's ended up causing division. What a shame. So this is something that's meant to bring us together. But what also seems to be here in this verse is that they were all baptized. It's a sense of, and the Corinthian church was a bit of a hodgepodge mess. But this baptism of the Spirit seems to be something that describes Christian beginnings. It's not necessarily something way, way later on in the Christian life. This is Christian beginnings. Now that's in itself, you know, quite a complicated thing. I think even as you go through the book of Acts, you see that it's not a kind of neat package. It happens like this in this order like that. We can't put God in a box. We need to repent, believe in Him, be baptized, and receive His Spirit. All those things are needed. We see that as we go through Acts. But we can't put God in a box in terms of how He works. But I think this phrase, baptism of the Spirit, describes Christian beginnings. You can't be a Christian without the Spirit. You can't be a Christian without the Spirit. And sometimes people have been coming to church thinking they're Christians, and they've heard a message which encourages them to repent and believe and be baptized in the Spirit. And at that point, they've repented and believed, and God's Spirit's come upon them in power. And suddenly there's a new beginning, a new love, a new delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, even people who are Christians, who do have something of God's Spirit in their lives, God does something from time to time special in their lives. God takes them, touches them. They encounter Him. They discover that they've got a new joy in Christ. They discover they've got a fresh boldness, a fresh authority. I myself can testify to a couple of times like that in my life. One, about 3 years ago, that really stands out. After I became acting pastor and thought, wow, Lord, help, Lord. And I just was seeking Him and thinking, Lord, I need You. Just in a wonderfully fresh way, God just came. Just did something. So I sought Him. So what do we call that? Do we call that baptism of the Spirit? And many here in this room could testify to moments like that. And I don't think it matters too much what you call it. I think that's less important than that you seek it and you seek more of God's Spirit. I myself would probably say that I would refer to baptism of the Spirit more as something that happens when you believe. But boy, I wouldn't want you thinking that then not seeking more and more of God's Spirit. And often I find the ones who have sought more, who have maybe even used a different terminology than I might use, boy, they're the ones sometimes I'm looking to and thinking, there's God's at work in their lives in a special way. I want more of Him like they've got more of Him. Not that there's a two-tier thing, just that they've opened up their lives more to God. It's like the balloon thing again. Okay, you might think you're a Christian here today. You know something of God's Spirit. In fact, you probably wouldn't be here today if God's Spirit wasn't working in your life in some way. There you are. You're a believer. You think, hey, I love the Lord. I want to get into His Word. I'm a church, aren't I? You know, I believed at some point 20 years ago. I made a profession of faith. And your life's a bit like that. And maybe actually over the last few weeks, months, maybe it's gone a bit more like that. but you still feel relatively full. I mean, look at that. You could say that balloon's full, couldn't you? There's no obvious gaps in it. You could say it's full. Thing is, it could be fuller. It could be fuller. I know my life could be more full of the things of God. I want it to be more full of His Spirit. And I know too, the bit like this balloon, I do leak. I know that God's Spirit is one person, one Spirit. In fact, it's not just one person in me and one person in you. It's the same one Spirit in us all. But somehow, my life can sometimes shrivel up at times to the things of God. I get so busy. I think I'm focusing on me and not on God. Forget to pray and seek Him. I forget to get into His Word. And my life shrivels up. And I need God to come.
Watch it.
And breathe His Spirit into me again. And the amazing thing about Pentecost is before then, Jesus hadn't ascended into heaven. The Spirit hadn't been poured out on the church, freely given for all who believe and who seek Him. That was a real watershed. But afterwards, He's there. If you repent and believe, you receive. That's the promise of Acts chapter 2. Afterwards, He's there so that Paul writes in these wonderful scriptures, in books like Ephesians, he says this, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And he describes what being filled with the Spirit is like. People have fresh vision for worship and godliness, wisdom and how to live their lives. And he writes Luke writes in Acts 4 of the believers gathering together for prayer in Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God more boldly. So I tend to use this word filled with the Holy Spirit, that we need to be filled and go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's even the tense that Paul uses there in Ephesians. And I want to encourage you, believer, if you know something of the Spirit, do you want to be filled more with Him today even? And I encourage you, if you've never believed, or even if you've been a bit cautious of the things of the Spirit so that you've never even asked for that promised Holy Spirit in your life, then I say be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not even afraid to, doesn't matter the terminology, but you need the Spirit, my friend. You need the Spirit in your life, and it's not going to come because you happen to stand in the right place at the right time. It's not going to come because I touch you or put a hand on you or someone else. It's going to come because God touches you. God draws near. God breathes on you. And you know what keeps us from having more of the Spirit? You know what grieves the Spirit? It's our sin. So that's why we need to, like we were looking at last week and the week before, we need to repent. Make sure that there's no sin in our life. Even repent sometimes of being content with that. I find often that's what I'm being challenged by God, that I'm content with that. When actually what He wants in my life is so much more. Repenting from not seeking Him and crying out to Him and saying, God, I want more of You. God has used mighty men and women in the past, and so often what set them apart is just simply they weren't satisfied with that. They saw God for more of Him, and He filled them and used them powerfully. Seek for more of God's Spirit in your life. Please repent of being content with the small thing. Content even with maybe drifting or declining. And then believe. You know, all of God's gifts are received by faith. Did you know that? Every single one of them. By faith, we take Him in His word that He says, here's this gift. And one of the wonderful things that I've been meditating on, just as we end, I want to come to this. Luke 11, it's not even up on the screen, so you might need to turn back. This is, again, the Apostle Luke writing, researching what Jesus actually said. He says in Luke 11, verse 9, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then Jesus says, which of you fathers, can you show me a hand of your father here this morning? Which of you fathers, speaking to you now, which of you fathers, if your son asked for a fish, would you give him a snake? Any of you? Raise your hand again. No. Dave, we'll have words afterwards. Or if he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? No. I wouldn't do that. If you then, though you are evil, and let's be honest, we're not perfect. If you then, though we are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So I say, have you asked him? Have you sought him and made sure you're right with him and said, Father, give of your Spirit. I need your Spirit. Baptize me in your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Whatever terminology you want to use. I don't want to do the Christian life on my own. I need more of you. Don't you want to do that right now? Let's bow our heads. And in your own heart now, please come and pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Get right with him. Living Jesus, by you, please now come by your Spirit amongst us. Lord, we thank you that you have poured out your Spirit at Pentecost, Lord. This is the age of the Spirit. We don't have to wait a few days, Lord. It could even be now. You fill us afresh. Or baptize us anew. But Jesus, we don't want to leave without you. We don't want to leave without having sought more of you. Maybe the band could just come up and join me here on the stage. And as they do that, if there are people here who just need to repent, maybe of something that you know God's been putting on your heart, maybe a particular sin that's been keeping you from seeking God in prayer, or maybe just even from being satisfied with too little of him, just please raise your hand right now if that is you. I'd love to just with every head even bowed, I know the band's coming up, but if you need to just repent just now, just please raise your hand. This is important. Jesus. Lord, we acknowledge our sin. Whatever it is, you see it. But Lord, we turn from it now. That's what we're doing as we raise our hand in the air. We're turning from it. We're saying we want more of you. We're coming back to you, Lord. Please, Father, fill us with your Spirit. Lord, if any of those there even have never turned back to you before, God, baptize them in your Spirit right now in Jesus' wonderful name. In fulfillment of that promise that you gave to your disciples. But Lord, too, as we wait on you, I believe there are many here who do want to receive more of you. There's a desire in their hearts this morning for fresh water, Lord, for fresh wind. Their lives and their sails.